Amen. All right, so we will open up to Revelation chapter 8 and starting in verse 1. And just a little quiz that I did with a couple people yesterday, and I'll do it with everybody since everyone's here, is who knows what writing comes before the book of Revelation in your Bible? Huh? I done messed it up. I didn't mess up the question.
Yeah, what book is before Revelation?
Okay.
Judas and John.
What book before? In your Bible, like if you read.
You said it.
What'd you say? Jude. And, yeah, and what is Jude? What type of, writing is that? Is it like a
history? The priest, isn't it? Like,
What would you call that? If you were going to read that, what would you call that? Would you call it a... Would you call it a gospel? Would you call it a...
Letter?
It's a letter, right? Yeah, so Jude is a letter. And which the book before Jude?
The
John.
The three Johns, and what are those?
Letters.
And what's the book before that?
What's a fancier name for a ladder, though?
It's well, a bunch of letters.
So you're
they're all letters.
They're all letters. So Tanya is gonna stop me from asking a bunch of questions. She said they're all letters.
Yeah. Look at your table.
Julie's going to the table of contents.
No, look at your table of contents.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it says letters in Revelation right here. All these are letters.
Yeah. So, isn't that interesting that we have Matthew writes a letter, Luke writes a letter, Mark writes a letter, John writes a letter, Luke writes another letter, which you guys know is the book of Acts, which is actually his second letter to Theophilus, right? And then Paul writes a letter to the Romans, and then he writes two letters to Corinthians. And then to Ephesians, and Galatians, and Colossians, and Thessalonians.
Is Luke writing the whole book of Acts?
Yes.
Oh, well, somebody's having a birthday.
Oh, I forgot they were doing that.
Whose birthday? Come on, Tanya.
It's Avea's birthday. Ah!
Avea.
Oh, they have her on the phone doing it? Oh, okay.
How sweet. Is that the sister?
Uh-huh.
Forgot what I was saying.
Oh, we're talking about letters?
Yeah, letters.
You're asking if Luke writes...
because sometimes Acts, I feel like it goes back and forth between Peter, Paul,
mm-mm.
Is that a different book?
Nope, Luke writes it from the very beginning. Theophilus, since the first account I wrote to you, here's my second account. All the Acts, yeah. So Luke, and because Luke was always with Paul.
Is Luke alluding back to what Paul and maybe Peter did or something? Maybe.
I mean,
he's writing a letter, but
no, like he's writing a letter from looking back on it.
Right. So maybe that's where she's maybe thinking of Paul and Peter. Maybe he's writing some accounts that they did, maybe or something.
Well, he writes the accounts of Peter and everybody in there, but it's all from Luke's perspective. Yeah, because Luke hung out with them too. I mean, when you read it, it just sounds like Paul was this pioneer. But when you actually read it, Barnabas went and was the one that actually got him to go with him originally. Because Paul was hanging out in Arabia for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Paul gets the revelation. He gets the apocalypse of his life. The revelation of his life of Yeshua. And then he hangs out in Arabia for 12 years. And then Barnabas goes and finds Saul of Tarsus, and he takes him on his first missionary trip, which is delivering money to poor people. And ever since then, him and Barnabas and Mark, the one called John, or Luke, and all these guys are with him. Like, he's with a band of guys all the time. And they're pretty clueless sometimes. You know, they show up, there's a bunch of women, and they're like, oh, look, they're having a Shabbat study. It's the Sabbath day. And we go over there and... the ladies are like all sal and purple and stuff like that. You know, so pretty funny stuff. But anyway, he's always with the band of men, and Luke was always one of them. Yes, and Julie has her phone out. This
I'm capturing the moments because
Should I turn around?
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Get my best
okay.
eye.
But yeah, so Tanya, these are all letters. So why do we do Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all these letters, Paul, all his letters to Timothy, to Titus, and then Peter's letters, and then John's three letters, and then Jude's letter, and all of a sudden it's like Revelation. We treat it as something different.
Prophecy. Yeah, it's all prophecy.
Yeah, it has the same introduction, and it says to the churches. And
yeah.
But then all that imagery, I think, is what gets you... like messed up. Like, what is all this horse stuff? Creatures?
Because that's what they grew up with. These guys grew up reading. That's Jewish writing.
Sci-fi? Jewish sci-fi?
No, it's called apocalyptic literature.
Sci-fi?
Apocalyptic literature, you have the same thing.
I know, but
it's
you
called similes, metaphors.
Weird, those creatures and something coming out of the ground.
But
and
they're
horses.
Also in Isaiah and
I know,
Zechariah
but I didn't know that that...
Come on. Oh, come on, Julie. Yeah, because you have to follow your Bible.
Well, I know. I got all these footnotes that have all where that is right now. See right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm like,
some of the Jews always call Revelation the stolen book because it was just pieces of so many other writings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because literature. If you literally look at the footnotes, it's more of... all back then.
Yeah.
And so probably the other books that were written would have been really good for us to have known more about them.
You
so
need...
that we would help us with this.
What you don't do is, if you want to understand the back of the book, you got to understand the front of the book. Like, it's as good as what you got to do. If you go to the back of the book without understanding the front of the book, you're gonna destroy yourself.
Remember the first Revelation study I did with Randy?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm going to study Revelation.
Yes.
He's like, okay, open your book to Daniel.
Yes.
What? Yep. Come on. No. I want to Revelation. Yeah. Open your book to Daniel. Then we got done with Daniel. All right, now we're going to Jeremiah. Now we're going here. Now we're going there. It's like, all right. It's been 4 weeks.
We're going to get the Revelation. Yeah. A Revelation study.
It's like 6 months.
God tells you.
And then 50 minutes later, you're done with Revelation.
Yeah. we already covered
it. He tells you, I tell you the end from the beginning. If you don't understand the beginning, you're not going to understand the end. Because the end's not going to tell you the end.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
Thank you.
That's the beginning.
The garden, there was chaos, waters. So watch the use of God says tohu bavohu. Oh, someone threw weeds in there, I think. I don't know.
There it is. It's really crackling.
Who's being supervisor?
It's what Adela has in her hand. Those weeds are what crack like that.
Did you tell him the laundry behind that?
Yes, I told him. Well, Hadassah knows they're over there.
Oh, yeah. Hadassah knows where all the good stuff is. She got a pile everywhere.
I'm like,
oh, you got a pile there?
Okay. Where was I going with this?
Sorry.
No, you're good. Where were we at?
If we knew the beginning.
Oh, yeah, if we knew the beginning. Yeah. So, tohu vavohu, it's a poetry. It rhymes in Hebrew. And it's also like an oxymoron because it says in Hebrew it means a wilderness of water. Like your Bible will say chaotic waters or something. But the literal is a wilderness of water, which you and I don't ever associate the wilderness with water.
There's no water in the wilderness.
But that's the point is... from that moment on in your Bible, it's trying to pick up a theme that anytime you read about the wilderness or the waters, it's a place of danger, a place of not ordered. There's no order in the wilderness. There's no order in the water because God is the God of order, and he took those things and he made a garden out of it. Okay? So from now on, your biblical authors are going to use those two imageries to point to danger kind of a thing. So now he's going to start pulling beast out of the wilderness or beast out of the water. So he's not... so what he's saying is these things ain't really coming out of those places. Okay. It's just pictures of they're not ordered like God. These are
need all those imagery things interpreted.
Yeah, there's so many of them. Like tree, food, man, woman, waters, wilderness, lights, right, stars, all this stuff from the very beginning. You have to pay attention to it, because every biblical author is going to use those at some point or another.
We were talking about that in class today.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to use that at one point or another. So you have to remember that, because he thinks you're going to remember it. The authors of your Bible think you remember this stuff. So when you read Revelation and he just quotes 180 times from the Old Testament, he thinks you know your Old Testament and you know what he's referencing.
Is right? That the number of quotes from the Old Testament?
It's like 170 something. Yeah, I could be off of here and there, but it's like it's up there. It's almost close to 200 times he quotes the Old Testament, like the prophets and stuff like that. So, and he also quotes like some of their cultural stuff up too in their time. So, you guys ready? Chapter 8, verse 1. We're talking about the seventh seal. We went through six seals so far. Who's opening the seals?
Yeshua.
The Lamb, right? So you're going to notice he opened up chapter 1 calling him the Word of God. Right? Are you still
laughing?
Yeah, that's a laugh, yeah. So he opened up calling him the Word of God. But you're going to notice throughout the entire rest of it until the end, he's going to call him the Lamb. And remember, yesterday we heard that he said he heard it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah who could open the scroll. And when he turned to look who was opening, he saw a lamb that had been slain. And then he heard the number of those who were going to be protected, right, in that time. And it was 144,000. But then he looks and he sees a crowd that could not be numbered.
From every tribe, tongue, and nation, but the 144 were from the 12 tribes of Israel.
But everyone's grafted into Israel, yeah. Are we not?
Yep.
Because we're going to read that here in a little bit, foundations and the gates.
The scope was broadened.
Yeah.
In what he saw versus what he heard.
Well, it was already broadened before that, because the Israel that was counted in the wilderness was not all purebred, because they were a mixed multitude that came out. I mean, look, Joseph, who did he have children with?
Some Egyptians.
That's enough. Who did Moses have children with?
Yep.
And from the very beginning, it's already mixed. Right? And then you throw in Rahab. And then you throw in Ruth. And then the mixed multitude that came in with them, it's not just Egyptians that came. That was the human trafficking place of the world, was Egypt. That's how Joseph ended up there. So, it was already mixed, and then it's just going to get even mixed. So anyway, chapter 8, we're starting the seventh seal. We went through six of them so far, and we're going to hit the seventh one. Okay? So chapter 8, verse 1, and when he, the Lamb, opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw seven messengers who stood before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Okay, so you have the picture, you have these seven messengers. And they're given seven trumpets with silence in heaven for half an hour on the seventh seal. So another angel came and he stood by the altar of incense. He had a golden fire pan and much incense was given to him so he could present the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense ascended from the messenger's hand with the prayers of the saints to the presence of God. And the messenger took the fire pan and he filled it up from the coals of the altar. And he cast them to the earth. And there were thunders and sounds and lightnings and an earthquake. Stop right there. Where else in your Bible have you heard about an altar and incense and fire pans?
Yep.
So why was Moses doing that?
It's a pattern after the heaven.
A pattern after what he saw in heaven already, right? So this is interesting. Because I was taught in Christianity that, you know, all that stuff's done away with since Yeshua came. Mm-hmm. But that was what's already going on in heaven. How it obviously John's looking up post Yeshua. This is post Yeshua, right? Yeshua's already died. He's resurrected. He's at the right hand, and now John's like, "Hey, all this stuff Moses did, I see it, and Yeshua's up there participating with it." It's like in heaven, there's the altar, there's the fire pens. Like, this looks familiar to me. So just because Rome came in, destroyed Jerusalem, they thought they really got rid of the altar and everything, but there's one up there, and the prayers are still going up. Right? So you guys remember what David did when he was on the run from Saul and he couldn't go to the temple even though that's what his heart longed to do? No? You do remember?
Refresh our memory.
Julie knows.
Talking about that story?
Huh?
What are you talking about, the story when David was...
He's running from Paul. He wanted to go to the temple, but he couldn't. So how did he keep his temple service to God?
Prayer and supplication.
Psalms 141, verse 2.
Praise and prayer.
Have you ever read Psalm 141, verse 2?
Probably.
Huh?
Probably.
We did. You got it, John? Is that what you're looking up right there?
No, I'm comparing my translations.
142?
Psalm 141, verse 2. You want to read it out loud for us?
May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. There you go.
Well, there you go.
Yep. He's like, I can't be there. So in the morning, he said, let my prayer be like the incense and the lifting of my hands.
Just like we do in the mornings ourselves and in evening.
Yeah, because there's no temple now.
So we do that.
So we do this.
So he still did it while he was on the run. And he wanted to go do it, but he knew that Saul would probably try to kill him.
The same thing when he's at the well with this American woman. He says there'll be a day when...
Not necessarily. Huh? Because she's talking about, okay, so she's talking more about the detail, like, oh, you know, you guys say we have to worship on that mountain, but we, of course, but her conversation is perfect woman, you know, she's trying not to talk about what he wants to talk about, so she's deflecting off of what he's really getting at with her, and he's like, yeah, where's your other husband? Oh, well, you Jews, you talk about this mountain, you know, he's like, well, we say it's this mountain, and he's like, lady... Let me play this game with me. It's not about mountains. It's about spirit and truth.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But yeah, that's where she was trying to deflect all his questions. So this is happening. This is what Moses saw. Right? This is where David looks up into the sky and he's like, oh, my Lord's talking to my Lord up there. So, verse 6 says, and the seven messengers who had seven trumpets prepared themselves so they could sound them. And this is what I want to point out here on the board for you, is what's the seventh seal?
Sounds like Yom Kippur.
No, we're like, what's the seventh seal? Like, because we read the first seal. Right, we read about those horses coming out and stuff like that, right? And the pale horse and this horse, and we read about the death of
the
saints.
Just in his presence?
No. So this is the thing: is the seventh seal opens up the trumpets.
Oh, yeah, because the trumpets are next.
But the seventh seal is not going to really be done yet. All it's going to do is open the trumpets, And you're going to read that the trumpets is just going to retell what he just told you about the seven seals. And when you get to the seventh trumpet, it's going to open up seven bowls, which is going to retell the story again. And then the seventh bowl is going to finally tell you the ending of the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl all at one time.
So there isn't 21 judgments? It's
there's
only
not
seven?
21 judgments. All he's going to do is the first, the seals, he explained to them what's going to happen to them using the book of Zechariah. Now he's going to explain to them...
Wait, shut up.
You don't have to slow down. We're going to read it. I haven't even read it yet. I'm just jumping ahead. So you got the seventh seal, right? It's like a nesting doll that opens up the seven trumpets.
So it's like writing a research paper or something where you have your paragraph and then your bullet points and then you expand on the bullet points and then you expand on those. So you start with ones. And then you have ABCs, and then you have dot, dot, dots.
So. Where do you think we got that from? So yeah, he's going to retell the same story you already read three times. He's going to use Zechariah, which he did. We already went through it. Now he's going to use Exodus. This one's going to be a little bit more familiar to you.
He's going to use Exodus on the trumpets?
Yes, the trumpets are going to be, they're going to be very similar, not always 100%, but they're going to be very similar to what you already know about Pharaoh and Egypt and Exodus. And then, when we get to the seventh trumpet, he's going to retell the story using Daniel.
Wait, on bowls.
On the bowls, oh, he's going to tell you the same story he's already told you, but this time he's going to use the imagery of Daniel. And then when he gets to the seventh one, he's going to bring the culmination of all the sevens to the end. Which is probably the only thing that hasn't been done here on Earth yet. It's, yeah. You ever had, so it's his way of trying to, this is what Hebrews do. You guys ever read Paul's writings? How he repeats himself a lot? It's a Hebrew, Hebraic style writing where the author wants you to get the point is by repetition. Yeah, like your child. How many times you got? How many times do I have to tell you? So this is what he's doing. Or if you're talking to your wife or she's talking to the husband.
Yeah, there we go.
And you tell them the story, and they look at you like deer in the headlights, like, what are you trying? Okay, so then you have to think again, and like, how do I rephrase this? And then you have to come at them again and explain to them in a different way, because your first way is not working. Anyone ever been there before, or just me?
And that's where my bullet points come in. All right, we're just going to break it way down.
Okay.
Then he says thank you.
Thank you.
So you almost need to take, as far as we've been, we need to take Revelation and divide it up, like she's saying, right through that. But
sure.
Yeah, take the first, was like an intro or something.
So, like. Right now he's going to, for the rest of the book, until the seventh bowl, he's going to repeat himself with a few intermissions. There's going to be a few times he'll elaborate on something. And then he'll go forward and repeat himself again. Just using a different imagery. Okay? Because some people, like what John was saying, some people think there's 21 judgments.
Yep, I did too.
Okay, well you just read like 3/4 of the earth died in the seals. How is 3/4 of the earth going to die again in the trumpets? And 3/4 again going to die again in the bowls? And I thought all the grass was burned up already, and it's going to burn up again.
Confusing.
He's just retelling the same story.
Oh. I'm like, it's already burned up.
So yeah. Okay, so let's read it. Okay. So you just don't hear what I'm saying, but you actually read it. So, verse 7. The first trumpeted, and there was hail and fire mixed in blood, and it was cast to the earth. And a third of the earth was consumed by fire. And a third of the trees were consumed by fire, and all the green grass was consumed by fire. Have you read that before? Viola's saying, yeah.
Maybe.
If you have a cool, you got footnotes on your Bible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do they tell you?
Let me see.
Some of your Bibles might help you out here. There's at least two books of your Bible that mention this.
Psalms 98:6.
Not for that one.
Uh-huh.
So where else in your Bible was there fire and hail?
Exodus 9:23-26.
You're correct. And do you know what that...
There's a plague.
On who?
On...
Egypt.
On Egypt. Yeah.
That's Raim.
Yeah, yeah, something like the plagues, but not all of it. Not...
What do you mean not all of it?
Well, I thought of the fire and the hail, but I don't remember.
You don't remember...
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, burned up the trees and the grass. Oh,
yeah,
okay. You're right.
That was one of the plagues where they, you didn't have that hail, and it was like hail of fire.
Fire, hail.
Yeah, it may even say it kind of like ran on the ground or something. Remember? Yeah, it said like when the hail and all that came, the fire, it was like the fire was running on the ground. Okay? So, the second messenger trumpeted, and something like great fiery mountain was cast, burning into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of those creatures in the sea that had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So where else was there blood? In
the river. The Nile.
Interesting, right?
It also says...
So remember... Okay, so... In Moses' day... Let's put it this way. If let's say you're in Moses' day... Did you see a messenger blowing a trumpet? Did Moses and them see messengers blowing trumpets?
There was trumpets blowing.
Did he see a mountain fly into the sea and turn the water into blood?
A mountain?
Do you understand what I'm asking?
I've tried.
Like the hand of God come down.
So what I'm saying is, what John is seeing here, what's happening in heaven... If something similar happened in Moses' day, if messengers were doing the blood stuff and all that, Moses and them didn't see that part.
So here we get the behind the scenes.
You get the behind the scenes. You're getting a heavenly perspective on an earthly situation. So all the imagery of these creatures and stuff, don't expect to see that yourself. He gets to see into heaven right now. He has a door open to heaven, and he gets to see what's happening in heaven. That doesn't mean you're going to see all that here on earth.
That's past tense, what happened.
Correct.
Yes, all this.
But even what's happening in your life, you're not, don't expect to see all of this stuff from heaven's perspective. You're just going to feel it here on earth in a different way.
Well, at the beginning, he does say what has happened.
What do you mean?
What's happening. Beginning of the Revelations.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, with the messengers and the creatures and all that, don't you expect to see all that happening
right
in your time, in your life? Like, don't expect you to see, oh, Satan's talking about me today. I wonder what they're talking about me today. Like, with the way Job didn't know and the way Peter didn't know what was going on, Yeshua had to tell Peter. And when Peter is like, if they all desert you, Lord, I won't. I'm better than John. I'm better than Tanya. I'm better than Veronica. I'll die with you. Though they all run away from you, I'll die for you. And he's looking at Peter like, oh, Peter, let me open the door to heaven for you and let you know what's going on up in from the heavenly perspective.
When do you get to see the heavenly perspective?
So
that maybe stuff that happened in your life. Never.
Maybe when you get there, I don't know. And by the time you get there, is it even going to matter? Like, because Job had the same thing. Job, His friends were like hitting him, like, you had to have done something, Job. This just doesn't happen to ordinary people. What did you do? And Job's like, I don't know what I did. I didn't do anything. God, what's going on? I wish I wasn't born. When it's night, I wish it was morning. When it's morning, I wish it was night. And he's questioning God, and God shows up. And when God comes back with questions for him, he said, you asked me all these questions, but I got some questions for you, Job. Where were you when I spoke to the waters and gave the oceans their boundaries and I said, you can't go no more? Where were you when I told the stars and everything, go here and go no more? He goes, matter of fact, let me take you up to the stars. And he takes him up there. And he goes, you see all this? He goes, do you want to manage this? You want to micromanage up here? And then he brings him to the earth. And he goes, look at the earth. He goes, you want to manage all this? And then he takes him under the earth. He goes, you want to manage all this? And by the time he gets like a tour of the skies, the land, and underneath, Job's like, I'm sorry, I should have shut up. I should have just...
So there's so much more happening that our own eyes can't see. Yeah. But when he's talking about it, all of this, it's what's happening up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And down here?
That's amazing.
Is that up there and down there?
Yeah. Down here.
Yeah, up here and here and here. Right
and
here.
Yeah, he says, he goes, you're crying about your life? Like, do you want to micromanage this? Like, and that's what Job did. Job's like, I should have just...
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the reasons why Yeshua harps on everyone so much to get out of self. Get out of self, because it is not about you.
No,
you're nothing.
You need to like,
get over
self.
It. Get over your pity party. It's not about you.
Yes.
Help everybody.
Yep.
Just be with everybody.
Yep. Encourage each other, because we need to go to the same.
Yeah. It's like Paul. I like Paul's writing, when he's just like, you know, to die is better.
Yes.
Than hanging out with you people, but for your sake,
I'll stay here.
It's more righteous for me to stay here.
Because
people are tough, you know, people are hard. And that's how he looked at it, was like, you know, to die is so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, how many believers say that today? It's like, man, to die is so awesome. He goes, but for your benefit, I'll choose to stick around and survive as much as I can. Not for me.
Yeah,
but if it was for me, he goes, burn me at the stake. I am ready. Because
really what we're all supposed to be doing. It's not about us. It's about how can we help each other.
Yeah.
We're more concerned for... Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, anytime we read about these messengers blowing trumpets and stars falling and all this happening... You don't expect to see the mountain falling from heaven, or the star falling from heaven, or the creature standing on the land. Like, don't expect to see stuff like that. Just expect to see what you're already seeing.
Right.
I mean, they saw it in their day. Every generation needs to live like this is their generation. But understand that this letter wasn't written to you. It was written to these seven congregations in Asia Minor. Right? But be prepared. Because you're going to find out that the seventh day is the only one that we haven't walked through yet. And you'll see why. What it says in the seventh day. Okay? So, keep reading. Or the seventh bowl or trumpet. What was I at? Verse 10 or 12?
10 or 11.
I think I was 10. So the third messenger trumpeted, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a lamp. It fell upon a third of the rivers, upon the springs of the waters, and the name of the star was called Absinthos.
Detox tea.
Your detox tea, yeah. A third of the waters were made into absinthos, and many people died from the waters that were made bitter. Yes, ma'am. You have a comment? You have a big smile on your face.
Bitter waters. I mean, that's all kinds of places.
All kinds of places, right?
When they came down from a mountain, right? No, the wilderness.
So, 3 days.
Or was that, you're talking about the Philistines?
Was it the Levites? When was it that they made them drink bitter waters? Wasn't it when they were...
That was the golden calf, but it wasn't bitter water. He took the golden calf and he like ground it into powder. He got the ocean water, mixed it in there, and made them all drink it. And it's like, Moses, did God tell you to do that to them? Or, because this was after God was like, I'm going to kill these people. And Moses was like, hey, you're the God of mercy and loving kindness and patience. You can't do that. You're the God who forgives. And God's like, okay, Moses, okay, you're right. And then that's when Moses goes down and he's like, what's that noise, Joshua? Joshua's like, it sounds like partying or something. And so that's when Moses, like, he flips out. After he tells God to calm down, he goes and he flips out and he just, like, starts making them drink this water. And you're like, I didn't read where God made him do that, told him to do that to the people. That's just Moses. After he told God calm down, he goes and he flips out. So, but it was after they came out of Egypt, 3 days together. They hung out 3 days, so we made it to the past 3 days now, yeah? So we're doing a little bit better than they are. But it was 3 days, and they just started complaining. And it was because there was bitter water, right, at Marah? Right. Yeah, so there's bitter water there, and there's going to be bitter water, is what he said, here, for them. But it's more than that. Like, it's not just bitter water. You have to sit and think about everything went on with the bitter water. Right? Like, was God just going to let them die of thirst there?
We need to find a provision. We need to be waiting on this provision.
They're in the wilderness, like you said at the beginning. The wilderness, the water. But yet they're in the garden. Because he's creating a garden.
Yeah, the tabernacle. He's going to build it. God's presence is there. Just like the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to work for 40 years. Like, sign me up.
Yeah, not work for 40 years.
Food, clothing, like, why, and no work? Where do I sign? It's the Garden of Eden. Like, they were experiencing Eden.
I always thought 40 years was like a curse, but because they could have got there, what, 11 days?
Well, that...
But then, like, 40 years of no working, see? That's a good deal.
Wandering.
I know they were wandering, but...
So it was like they had Eden there, but there was like a renewed Eden waiting for them. You know what I mean? So you have to think about bitter water. It's not just bitter water. It's like, oh, there's just going to be bitter... Like, what are they going to do? Oh, get the purifier, get the... Throw the tree. It's more. You have to sit and think about it. You have to sit and think about everything going on in their life. They were being oppressed by Pharaoh. 3 days later, when God saved them, they were complaining because of bitter water. And God, later on, he tells them, yeah, I made you go through that terrible wilderness for one purpose, for one reason. Huh?
Refining
them because he wanted to test them to see what was really in their heart.
A lot of Egypt was in their heart.
Like, why did you run after me? Was it because you love me? Or were you just looking forward to... Yeah. Why? I wanted to test your heart. So when you read these, take yourself back to the stories of what he's referencing, because that's what he thinks you're going to do. He doesn't think you're just going to hone in on bitter waters. We must be saving water now.
Yes.
Because it's all going to be bitter water. So go get us 1,000 gallons of water when all everyone else's water is going to turn bitter.
Oh my goodness. Dig a hole and we're going to go in there and stay.
Yep, go underground.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my goodness.
There was only one person that really was a prepper in your Bible. And he didn't do it for himself.
Joseph.
Yeah, and he just didn't hoard it for believers.
Right, it was prayer. That's right. He didn't.
Yeah.
The world.
It was for the world. It was for humanity.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't taking humanity's food away. It was storing it up for humanity.
Yeah, interesting that it wasn't just for the house of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did buy all the land and all their stuff.
That's what Pharaoh wanted. Yeah. So anyway, when you read these things, remind yourself, you may not, I mean, some people may be like Joseph and Mary, and you might see messengers, like, yeah, totally. But the majority of us probably won't be walking on the water and stuff like Peter, you know, and doing stuff like that. Okay? So, A, that's one. And two, when you read something like this, whatever he's referencing, go back and think about the entire situation of what happened, because that's what he really wants you to do. Okay? So, verse 12. So the fourth messenger trumpeted, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So a third of them would be dark, a third of the day could not be made visible, and the night likewise.
Okay, that's a lot of pasta.
Oh, so how do you know that?
My footnote said.
Oh, your translator's helping you out now. Or you're barely reading them now.
We got Isaiah, we got Ezekiel, and we got Joel on that
verse. And not only do you have that, but what happened in Egypt's time?
There was a time where only Egypt had light and
only
darkness, and then where the... There you go.
Good
and
job,
so you got to look back there.
Man, yeah, I mean, think about that. Even when Joshua was fighting... You guys remember that God's like, okay, let's just make the cosmos just stay still and not move. It's like a timeless war. this 6-day war. Yeah, well, Joshua fought in less than 0 days because time didn't move. Time stood still while he was moving. Isn't that crazy? So, You're correct, Julie. You have all those references. And all those references is what he wants you to go and meditate on. Go back to that situation.
In order to encourage you.
In order to encourage them to how to prepare for this. For what's coming in their life. Yeah. Just like, I hope when you read Daniel and him be thrown into a lion's den or his friends thrown into the fire, I hope that stuff encourages you. So whenever government comes after you or whatever... You follow their pattern. Because that's why these things were written, was for an example for us.
Yeah.
Right? So, making sense?
Behave and react accordingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, verse 13. So I looked and I heard one eagle flying in the middle of the sky, saying in a loud voice. And now you've seen an eagle talking.
It must be a marathon.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
It was a
ball. Oh, maybe it's like Canada or something.
Don't we have the bald eagle?
We have the bald one, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa! To those who live on the earth, because of the remaining sounds of the trumpet which are about to be sounded by the three messengers. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right?
Oh, mine says angel. It doesn't say eagle.
Yeah. Yours says an angel
flying. Angel flying. What? In the heavens.
But then it says at the bottom, the new text and end text read eagle.
That's not even close. Eagle and angel. And what is it?
You have eagle?
I got eagle.
I got eagle.
Yours says a messenger, an angel? John, what does yours say?
Mine says eagle.
Oh, you're the outcast on this one.
Uh-huh. Mine says
angel. Yours says angel too. What translations do y'all have?
King Jaime.
You have King Jaime.
King
James. Oh, both of you guys have the King James.
But at the bottom it has that in you. Text and the M text read eagle. So some of the other translations have eagle.
Okay.
Why would they?
But my TS 2009 says, and I looked and I heard an eagle flying.
I looked and I heard an eagle flying. Yep.
Yep, that's mine too.
Yeah,
Mine says herd as well.
Interesting.
Well, it's not messenger in the Hebrew.
It's not messenger, huh? Nope.
Yeah, I was looking at that already too on my right column.
And it's not?
No, there's no malachim in there or malach.
But you can
hear an
eagle.
I don't know what the Hebrew word is for eagle, and I don't have the service.
Okay, sorry. No, it's okay.
And this one doesn't let me. Well, it probably wouldn't have service.
But we know, whoa, 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 for the last trumpet. So let's read what these are. Okay. So a fifth messenger trumpeted, and I saw a star that fallen out from heaven to the earth. So the key of the pit of the abyss was given to the star. And it opened the pit of the abyss. So you have a star opening. Can you picture a star going, Julie? An opening with keys? Sorry, I just had to throw that out there. I had to throw that out there. So the key of the pit of the abyss was given to the star, and it was opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke arose from the pit like smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit, and locusts came out from the smoke all over the earth. And authority was given to them as the scorpions have authority over the earth. And it was said to them that they could not injure the grass of the earth or any green thing or not any tree, only the people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And it was given to them that they could not kill them, but that they would be tormented for 5 months. And their torment will be like a torment of a scorpion when it would sting someone. And in those days people will seek death, but they will not find it. They will desire to die, but death flees from them. And the...
Oops. Nesher. That's Nesher. Our eagle.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Sorry.
Okay, so what's coming out here on this fifth trumpet?
Locusts. There's smoke.
Where else did you see locusts come out?
Egypt. One of the plagues.
Interesting. Okay, so locust comes out, and did the locust kill anybody in Egypt? Did any of the insects or anything kill anyone in Egypt?
No, they're just a nuisance.
They're just a nuisance, huh?
Yeah, it's met like vegetation, but it wasn't vegetation.
Yep. So this is coming out, and people are going to be like, oh, kill me, but it's not going to happen, right? And this quote, what's up, John? Why are you laughing?
Just kill me.
Oh.
But they won't find death, but yeah. They'll want it.
How many footnotes or references do you have in your Bible to this, Julie?
A lot. Genesis, Exodus, Ezekiel, Job, Jeremiah.
It's a lot. So, this is what you do next time you read Revelation on your own?
Yes, go back
to all. You're going to go back and read those and put yourself in those situations and scenarios.
But then you kind of need to know what's going on.
You do. Which is why I'm not going to go back to every single one of these references, because that would... We'd take us a year.
6 months.
Yes. Because we would have to go through Jeremiah together, so you can get the whole context of what's going on there. We have to go through Zechariah together. We have to break it all down, so you understand where this man is writing this letter to. You're reading someone else's mail. Right?
Do all the letters have this much reference like this?
Not as much as this one, no. Not as much as this one. But all the letters do have lots of references, but just not as much as this one. Because this one is full of imagery.
Oh, this is, yeah, but all the other letters don't have much imagery.
Not much imagery, no. Okay? Because here he's just writing a letter of comfort to his people. He's not like writing correction and rebuke and stuff like that. He's like, y'all are about to go through some affliction. He hit them with what's wrong with them at first, and he kept it short and sweet. And now he's just trying to encourage them, hoping that they're going to see their earthly situation through God's eyes, right? Okay, so verse 7. So the appearance of the locusts was like horses when they had been prepared for battle. Upon their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings like the sound of many chariot horses running in battle. And they had tails like scorpions and stings. In their tails was their power to injure people for 5 months. They had their king, the messenger of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, his name is Apollyon.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
What is
what?
What it says?
Huh?
Job, the Proverbs, and that.
Hmm?
What's his referring
to? What does it describe?
Yes, please, thank you.
So he's describing what the locusts look like.
His name in Hebrew? That's a locust?
No, that's who their king was.
Who's king?
The king of the locusts.
King of the locusts? What?
They have a king over them.
Yeah, and it's a messenger from the abyss.
A demon or something?
It's like an impious messenger. Yeah. It's a messenger. It's a person. He looks like a person.
To do
what's not. Oh, because a messenger can take on the form
of. So they have these little army tank flying helicopters with.
Yeah. No. So you're not going to see that. Okay.
Now I know why they made all this up like this. Because so much imagery.
Let's put it this way. Okay. You and I were made in whose image?
God.
Okay. But what did we listen to in the garden?
A
nachash. And what is a nachash?
It's a creature.
It's a,
a beast.
Okay, it's a beast, right?
Is it a messenger?
Okay. So, Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar?
He turned into a beast.
Mm-hmm.
God,
like it.
But who turned him into a beast? Like, who led him out into the wilderness?
God did.
Well, who did God send to do it for him?
Oh.
Two messengers. He had messengers that went out and did this to him. That made him go crazy and turned himself into his own beast. Where his nails grew all, his hair grew all. Right? Go read it. This is Daniel. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah.
And he lost his sanity.
And it wasn't because of him. It was because these messengers drove him to the wilderness to do that to him.
Are they good messengers or bad messengers?
Every messenger, good and bad, they do God's will.
The bad ones do God's will?
There's nothing they can do without God's permission. So even in their evil, it's really playing into God's ultimate plan. Like they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like Job. He was going to him and he's like, have you considered? But then he gave him permission to.
Yeah.
His permission to sift.
Try it, yeah, try it.
Can't do it without his permission. Okay.
Okay, so what I'm saying is keep going into your Bible, and when John the Baptist comes on the scene and he's preaching and he's baptizing people, who comes out to see him? Who comes out to listen to his message? Before Yeshua.
Who comes out and listens to John the Baptist's message?
The brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the coming wrath?
A brood of vipers. Who does he call a brood of vipers? The scribes and the religious people. He calls them a brood of vipers.
Priests. So
listen to it. He calls them a brood of vipers. What did Yeshua call them?
Whitewashed tombs.
What else did he call them? Yeshua calls the high priest the super beast of Daniel. When he's sitting there and Caiaphas is like, they say that you say you're son of God, that you're God. And he says, are you? And he's like, if you say so. And he says, I tell you under oath right now. You tell me. And he goes, I tell you this, that you'll see the Son of Man. And when he says the Son of Man, the only place that term is ever used is in the book of Daniel, where the Son of Man is killed by the super beast.
Oh, wow. So right there, he's calling the super beast. without calling Superman.
And Caiaphas knows that, and Caiaphas is like, this dude has the nerve to call me the most wicked beast on earth, and he rips his garment. He calls him a beast. And then Paul goes on and he's like, hey, and he writes in his letters, hey, watch out for these guys who wrap themselves in light, because inside they're ravenous wolves. What's up with all this beast imagery with people who are not holy? You ever called someone a snake? You ever called someone a dog? Yeshua called a woman a dog. So here, John's calling these messengers a bunch of locusts. He said, watch out, because there's going to be a bunch of impure spirits out there tormenting people for 5 months. They're going to be thinking about death, and they ain't going to be able to do it.
So they don't really like locusts like I think they
do. Because you have to pay attention, because their king is a messenger. He's a messenger of the abyss.
Because right here says that now the appearance of locusts was like horses. Look at all this.
You're not going to see this. This is what he's seeing up in the heavenly places.
Okay. So what goes on earth?
Okay, so okay. Yeshua, okay, so he sees Yeshua as a what in heaven?
As a bloody lamb.
When Yeshua was on earth, did you see him as a bloody lamb? Or did you see him as a bloody man?
Bloody man.
You see? You kind of put it together? He's the Lamb of God, but when he was here on earth, you didn't see a lamb.
So when he describes this, this is in the heavenly.
He's describing this stuff in the heavenly.
We don't know what it looks like.
It's going to look different here in our earth.
It doesn't tell us what it's going to look like.
Correct.
Oh. We don't know. Is that? He obviously was a human here. He wasn't a lamb.
Correct.
But he was playing a part. But he was walking out the same steps that the Passover lamb did.
Correct. But how many people understood that at the moment? Is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, we're not probably not going to understand what's going to happen if we're looking for actual locusts and mountains falling from the sky and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Back in Egypt, they didn't look like locusts?
But those were actual locusts, but how do we not know that messengers weren't doing that for God? Like, God's legions of messengers weren't doing something like that. His angels weren't doing all that. Like, did Nebuchadnezzar see two angels actually doing that to him? Or did he just go insane in his brain? Did Nebuchadnezzar know messengers were doing that to him? Or does the Bible, the author, just say, yeah, and messengers did that to him?
Probably no more than Job knew was doing it to him, what was going on.
Because that author had a heavenly perspective. That's why he saw the messengers, but Nebuchadnezzar did not. He just thought he was going crazy in his brain.
That's what I said. I don't know, So, put it this way. So when Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, who did he talk to before he went to his brothers? Before Joseph was betrayed?
He went to a messenger and told him, they're not here, they're over there.
Who is that man? No. Was that like just a regular person guy? Like, oh yeah, I saw your brothers over there. Like, or was that like a bee, like a messenger? Like, oh hey Joseph, your brothers are over there.
There's no explanation right there.
There's nothing, right? Just random.
Yeshua?
We don't know. Like that, it's just speculation. But what I'm saying is, our life is more supernatural than we know it. But the supernatural is not going to be like obvious in your face most of the time. This is what John's trying to say. You just have to know there's more going on in your life than what you can see with your eyes. Because you're not supposed to walk by but by faith. Right?
Wrestle not against flesh and blood, because that's what it is.
Anytime you walk by sight, you're going to miss the mark. Because you're going to see something like Eve, like Shechem, like Reuben and the half, and what was it, Dan and the half tribe of Manasseh, right? No. Did I do that right? Who's, they saw the land, hey, this land's good for cattle, and we have cattle. Moses like, the promised land, dude, the prom. He's like, oh, but I see this, I desire this, and I want to take this. Just like Eve saw it, she desired it, she took it. Shechem saw Dinah, saw her, desired her, and took her. Don't do that. Don't see, desire, and take. Just listen to your father's voice. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Right? So the moment we're looking for our sight, you know, it's going to, yeah, you're going to be deceived. So just listen for the voice. That's why the blind men could see Yeshua.
Blessed are the blind.
Because they were going by the voice. They heard the voice and they said, Son of David, Son of David, don't pass me by. And they're like, shh, tell them to shut up. The rabbi's coming by. Son of David. The blind guys, the two blind guys, are the only ones who knew his name.
Wow.
Everyone else is like, who is this? So what I'm trying to do, I guess the best thing I can do when it comes to Revelation is, let's not repeat the mistake of the people in Yeshua's day who did not know the hour of their visitation. And the way you do that is just by be ready.
Yeah.
And don't expect some secret code to be unlocked to like the end of the time.
Stop watching the movies.
Yeah.
Don't
read
listen
the
to all this sci-fi stuff.
Don't read the books
it's
either.
It's sci-fi now.
Except this one.
Right. And don't try to get the upper hand. Like, this is how it's going to go down. You know, because like as David was saying yesterday, like some of us think that you have like some power if you think you know how it's all going to go down. And now God gave me a vision how it's going to go down. So y'all saw all your stuff. Give me all your money. Come to my house. Hey, come to my house and you'll be taken care of. And, you know, and if it doesn't happen, then God spared us. How are you all going to get your life back? I don't know, but thanks for your money. Right? Yeah, and I say that because people have done that. People have convinced people to sell their stuff, move somewhere, things of that sort. So, be cautious. Right? This is not something to play with. This is not something, because people will like leave marriages and leave stuff because they think the end is coming. And you're not going to see a lot of this crazy like flying creatures and all that. You're going to see an oppressed government. You're going to see a propaganda machine. You're going to see all this stuff. But don't fear. Right? That's what he's telling you. Like, take it like Yeshua did. Nowhere does he tell you to run here. He told them in Jerusalem, when the temple was coming down, Titus was going to come in, hey, flee to Judea, because they're going to mess up your family. Like, these guys are ruthless, so whenever you see Titus coming in, take off to Judea. That was the only time he told them to run. Everybody else...
What about when you're supposed to grab, don't turn around and grab the coat?
That was for when the temple was going to be destroyed. Because they asked Yeshua two questions. Peter was like, hey, Yeshua, check out how beautiful the temple is. And he's like, ah, Peter, I tell you that thing's going to be taken down. Because they're going to like ask for Barabbas rather than me. He's an insurrectionist. And so y'all are going to want him to release him from prison, and you're going to make me have the death sentence, and that dude's going to lead an insurrection like he did before, and Rome's not going to like that, and Titus is going to come in, and he's going to destroy this place. And I'll tell you this, that all these things are going to happen before this generation passes away. And for the end of the earth or the end of the age, I don't know. The messengers don't know. Only my father knows. So... let me tell you a story about some virgins. You know, there was five wise and five foolish. Some were ready and some weren't ready. So be ready. Let me tell you about a couple of who are the guys that do the watches? Right, or the store owners, whatever. He's like, there was one who was ready for a thief, and there was one who wasn't ready for a thief. Be ready for the thief, because I come like a thief at night. Let me tell you another one. There was a wedding, and nobody was ready for the wedding. Right? So he tells you all the stuff about, I don't know when it's going to be. Just be ready all the time. Okay? Cool?
Yeah, question.
Go for it.
So this has nothing to do with what was going on with the Roman Empire?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I wasn't here for most of the issues.
Yeah, do you want to elaborate on that? You want to give us some history lesson?
I can't remember it all.
Well, give us the parts you remember.
Yeah. So, I don't remember too much. I just remember there was like certain emperors during that time. It's like this. And this was one of the...
Yeah, Titus. There was his younger brother. There was Dominic. There was Nero. All about the same time. There was just one after another. Yes.
Wasn't Domitian Titus's younger brother?
I believe he was.
But each one did something specific to the Christians or to the Jews at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were trying to bring it. But I want to say too, somewhere in there, which is modern day Turkey now, those ones were starting to come into the empire, and I thought that they were saying
that's Pergamum. Pergamum is like Istanbul, Turkey right now, I think.
Okay.
Istanbul, Turkey is what Pergamos used to be.
It's like coming from the east. They said that was coming, and they were saying like the scorpions were the men who were riding the horses, and then they were like the Middle Eastern looking, and their ponytails.
Yeah.
Is what was the horses' tails or something like that. And then when there was fire, it was the gun shooting. I don't know if that was this seal right now, but I just know it was one of the things is, and it had to like specifically said the 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some type of torment, like specific oppression that was going on to those people in the time of that empire. And I don't remember the names, but
yeah.
This was something that's already passed. So it's not something we're going to probably experience. It's a past thing that he was supposed to be writing about that's already come. That was to come. This happens. To come.
Yeah.
So we're still in the past. Something that's already passed.
Yeah.
It's a future for him, but it's in our past.
Yeah, it's a future for him, but in our past. Because more believers probably died in that first century than any other century combined.
It's like a third of the population, I think. Or just that empire.
Yeah.
The Roman Empire.
Like, more believers. I mean, A, they had the Jews who were not liking this new movement going after them. And then after the Jews went after them, Rome went after them. And then after that, then Constantine came and went after them. All the way up through, like, Calvin and Martin Luther. Like, they were ugly towards them. All the way to the Spanish Inquisition, like it was just.
They can't catch a break.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like one, like a little bit of relief, and then here would come another crazy emperor. And it wasn't until the emperors started fighting amongst each other that there was a.
And we have actual proof in Santa Fe. Have y'all ever gone? We ought to make a little trip up there and see what happened with the torture. I think they still have the torture guillotine there.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah, real.
What they were persecuting the Christians or what?
Yes. The Jews.
Because that's why a lot of them fled here.
Yes, back to Columbus.
They fled here because you couldn't be anything Torah, like the commandments and stuff, because Queen Isabel and Ferdinand, they went crazy. So that's why most people like Veronica and them are here, fleeing that, right? Because it was either become a pig-eating Catholic or you die, kind of a deal. So it's pretty. So anyway, for us to think like, oh my goodness, like persecution is going to come to us like never before. You're like, no, like read history. Like look at Paul.
History repeats itself.
It repeats itself. However, we have a promise now. If we're the last generation, we have a promise that believers are going to just start embodying this entire earth, like the waters cover the sea in the last days.
Yep, that's what it says.
The last days, he's turning the tables on his enemy, where Babylon is getting washed away and they have to hit the panic button.
So that happens on the last generation, but we don't know for the last generation.
But we don't know.
We just live it like we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
so much better than the other stuff they said.
I know, I'm so relieved from that.
So, verse 12 is... the one who has passed, so the one woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. So the sixth messenger trumpeted, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is in front of God, saying to the sixth messenger, the one who had the trumpet, you must release by the great river Euphrates the four messengers who have been bound. The four messengers who were prepared for the hour and the day and the month and year were released so that they could kill a third of mankind. And the number of the cavalry troops was 20,000 of tens of thousands. The number of the cavalry troops... Oh, sorry, I read that one, huh? And I heard their number. Then I saw the horses in my sight and those who sat upon them, having fiery breastplates. Also dark blue and sulphurous. The heads of the horses were like lions' heads. The fire and smoke and sulphur were going out from their mouths. And a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by means of the fire and the smoke and the sulphur going out from their mouths. For the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads, and they injured with them. Okay. What is he talking about here?
I don't know.
The four horns.
The four horns on the golden altar. What has four horns? That.
So what trumpet? What trumpet is this?
Six.
So this is the sixth trumpet. Sorry. Sixth trumpet. It releases the four horsemen of the seals, right? Of Zechariah. So that's going to release the horsemen. The horsemen of the seals. You guys remember the horsemen of the seals? First one came with war, famine, death. So this trumpet releases those horsemen, and they bring war.
Is that the four horns?
Hmm?
What's the four horns of the golden altar?
They're riding the horses, right? The one who rode on the horse, the one who rode on that horse, and the one who rode on this horse. Do you remember that from two pages ago in your Bible?
The horsemen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Zechariah, right?
Zechariah.
There you go.
So it's just repeating.
Okay? Yeah, because watch this now. Ready? Watch this next paragraph of this chapter. If the wind would cooperate with me. Here we go. Verse 20. So the rest of mankind, those not killed by these three plagues, did not repent from their deeds of their hands. So they would not any longer be paying homage to the demons and idols of gold and silver, brass and copper and wood, which things are not able to see or hear or walk. And they did not repent from their murders, or from their witchcraft, from their idolatry, or from their thefts. So.
Mine says drugs.
Or from their drugs?
Well, some.
That's
some
what witchcraft is.
Say drug sorcery.
Yes.
So witchcraft is pharmakia, pharmaceuticals.
So is this the Catholic Church?
Huh?
Is this the Catholic Church?
Is what?
This whole, the ones who didn't die of the plagues, who didn't repent of their stuff?
No! This is, no, the Catholic Church wasn't even there at that time.
Was it not Roman?
No. This book was written in 90 AD. Constantine didn't come until like 300.
He started a future thing.
The TS 2009 says, and they did not repent of their murders, nor of their drug sorceries, nor of their whoring, nor of their thefts.
Man, that's, everyone's just so blunt. Okay, watch this. Read the last paragraph in yours. Julie, go ahead. You want to read it for us?
Last paragraph?
Of chapter 9.
Chapter
21. And they did not repent and turn away from their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their stealing.
No, the last paragraph.
But the rest of mankind,
there you go.
Not killed by these plagues, did not repent and turn away from the works of their hands. They would not stop worshiping demons and the idols of gold and silver and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. And they did not repent and turn away from their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their stealing.
So after all the trumpets and all those plagues and those woes, they didn't turn. Who else in your Bible?
Pharaoh.
But it's not done though. Because in Pharaoh's day, Pharaoh and all of Egypt got destroyed. But watch what's going to happen here. They didn't repent after all these miraculous things happened on the earth. When God took their food away, when he brought wars, when he brought, you know, sickness and all this stuff on the earth, trying to get them to turn, they don't turn. They're just like Pharaoh, right? But keep reading, and John's going to show you how to get these people to turn. Do you want to know how to get people to turn? Are you sure? You sure? She was like, maybe. She's like, maybe I do, maybe I don't want to know.
Are you talking about Julie or regional?
No, I'm talking about, do you want to know how to get the people? Because how do we get the people here who did not repent? How do we get him, Pharaoh, these pharaohs, to turn from their sins, from their drugs, from their idolatry, from their demon worship?
Pharaoh never turned. He just got...
Huh?
Pharaoh never turned.
I know he didn't.
Okay.
But John's going to show...
Lure them to water?
Drown them all in the sea?
So, John has another way.
Okay.
A little bit different. And he's going to show us. You just have to keep reading. But what he's doing is he's pointing out to you is that all these miracles, all these plagues, didn't change anybody. But there's something that does.
Are
you thinking no? Watch. Chapter 10. Okay. I saw another mighty messenger descending from heaven clothed in a cloud and a rainbow. Well, what was he clothed in? What did he dress himself?
A cloud. Like
clothed with a cloud.
Let's see.
What'd you say?
That reminds me of the mountain. Moses on the mountain had a cloud covering.
Who else comes in a cloud?
Yeshua.
Interesting. Right? You guys remember Yeshua? The first time your Bible described him? He was looking through a pillar of cloud at Egypt. When he was protecting Israel.
That pillar of cloud by day?
Yeah. You remember that? All right. So I saw another mighty messenger descending from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head, and his face like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire, and having in his hand a little scroll that had been open. He placed his right foot upon the sea, his left upon the ground. So this guy he's standing on top of water. Okay? And he's standing on top of the ground. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. Because it's awesome.
So this messenger is like 1 foot on top of the sea and 1 foot on the ground. It's like maybe he's the one that held Peter's hand when he's walking on the water.
And his feet are like pillars of fire.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his authority over the water and the land.
Interesting, huh?
Fire on the water, mm-hmm. fire on the land.
Okay. So get that imagery in your head. And he cried out in a loud voice as a lion roars. So this is a mighty, this is a messenger. His face is shining like the sun. You guys remember Stephen? You guys remember your Moses? Right? Their faces were shining like the sun. His feet were like pillars of fire. He's got a scroll in his hand. A foot on the earth, or on the ground, and a foot on the sea, and he sounds like a lion roaring. When he cried out, seven thunders spoke their own voices. So when he roars, whatever that sounds like, seven thunders come out in voices.
I think this is definitely an issue. It's
gotta
be.
That's why the Hebrew people didn't want to hear God's voice.
Yes, scare them.
I mean, do you hear thunder?
Yeah.
Is that not like sometimes you're like, whoa?
Yeah, that was loud. Yeah, absolutely.
But he wanted
it's
them.
It's telling you what to do with your life.
Ah, much.
It hurts. Dude.
So it says, when the seven thunders spoke, I was going to write. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, you must seal what the seven thunders were speaking and do not write these things. And the messenger whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth raised his right hand to the sky. And he swore by the one who lives forever and ever. Yes, ma'am?
Oh, I'm just reading ahead. He created heaven.
Who created? Well, because I had to turn my page, but the wind took it. Who created the sky? Who created the sky and the things in it, and the earth and the things on it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be no more delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he would be going to blow the trumpet, the mystery of Elohim, or God, was fulfilled as he brought the good news by his servants, the prophets. Yes, Julie.
This is not... Explain. Explain.
Explain what?
Oh, this. What's going on here?
How many quotations?
What is the mystery?
The mystery of God is fulfilled. He's already brought it. It's the good news by his servants, the prophets.
All the prophets are in here? Ezekiel and all these prophets.
What do you told God to write it down to seal it up?
He said, don't write it down. Do not write it down.
It's already been revealed, right?
Seal up what this is.
By the prophets.
The good news is there, right? By his servants, the prophets. Keep reading. Just keep reading. No, keep reading. Watch. Keep reading. So it says, the voice from heaven, which I again heard, was speaking with me and saying, you must go, you must take the open scroll in the hand of the messenger, the one who stands upon the sea and upon the earth. So he's going to give him the scroll.
Who's going to give his scroll?
That messenger with flames of fiery feet and face shining like the sun. He's going to give John the scroll.
This little scroll.
The little scroll that's in his hand. Okay?
But he said, don't write it down.
And guess what has to do with the scroll?
Hold on, John.
He's reading ahead, reading ahead.
Okay, so... go and take a little book.
of the book. That's what mine
said. Yeah, so where am I at?
It was a little book. It was just a tiny little snack.
Wasn't it seven?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, verse 8. Yeah, you must take the open scroll in the hand of the messenger, the one who stands upon the sea and upon the earth. I went to the messenger, telling him to give the little scroll to me. He said to me, you must take it, you must devour it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. So I took the little scroll from the hand of the messenger, I devoured it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey, but when I ate it, it became bitter in my stomach. And they said to me, it's necessary for you to prophesy again to many peoples and nations and languages and kings. That's in your Bible in the past. It's already in your Bible.
Where?
John?
That was Yeshua.
That's what I said.
That was testifying, prophesying, right?
That's what I said. Sounds right. Just like Yeshua.
Hmm? Ezekiel that had to
eat
the words.
Good job.
Just like Ezekiel is saying, take this book, eat it, and go tell it to the nations. And that's when Ezekiel was like, I think it was Ezekiel. He's like, I try to keep my mouth shut. I try to be quiet, but this thing in my stomach just swelled up and I couldn't shut my mouth anymore.
Yeah. And you remember he got told, you can tell them all you want, but they ain't going to listen to you?
That was Jeremiah, I believe.
Uh-uh.
It was Ezekiel?
Yes. Because I got mad about reading about Ezekiel. Because I'm like, why is he going to do it? He's already told him they're going to listen. Like, why?
Because you got to tell him.
Because it was all like, this and his coming. He had to say it anyway, even though he said, he already told them they're not going to listen to him.
But I think that comes with, you know, when he tells us, it's our responsibility to tell people, otherwise their blood's on our hands. So sometimes, I guess maybe some of us, he had it kind of as a force. That's how I see it, maybe.
Okay, so he's not supposed to write down what he heard, right? But rather, he takes the words, he's going to eat it, and now he's going to go proclaim it. But now he's going to tell you what it is. He's going to give it to us in two visions.
Have you answered that question yet? No.
Which one?
The one that we said, let's keep reading. This one?
No, because he's going to tell you, he's going to show you with Brother. These two visions. He's going to show you with these two visions.
Two visions, okay.
Yeah, but that goes in chapter 11. You guys want to keep going, or do you guys want to...
Have a bathroom break.
You want a bathroom break?
Yeah,
I can stop it.